I want to thank the Lord this morning for the opportunity that I have to share this word. It has not been easy this last year and couple of months because the heart had lost its beat and the medications have been so strong that it's very hard. But through it all, the Lord has been gracious. The Lord has been merciful, and I thank the Lord for y'all, your prayers, and I thank the Lord for my pastor who has allowed me this morning to come and share it with you this morning. I'm going to speak in English this morning. I have a hard time, and I get a little bit sidetracked because I forget a lot of things. Write everything, and I'm saying, you know, I have to read a little bit more than what I'm used to, but it's still the Word of God.
Amen.
This morning, the Lord has given me this in my heart. This is what I prayed for, and I have studied and read. It is the faith that honors God and God honors. Faith and honors. I like the word that it begins as you read. That we come near to God, okay, with a sincere heart. With a sincere heart. And this is the key, a sincere heart. In a moment we're going to hear there are three requirements to the faith that saves us. The faith that honors God and the faith that God honors us. I want to read again the verse of scripture that was read. Rely on verse 22. It says, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Now for us to read this, it's very simple for us to draw near. But for the Jewish people that this scripture was written to, They couldn't imagine of drawing near to God. Because if you remember, the Jewish priest, the high priest, could only go into the Holy of Holies once a year. And only he could go into the Holy of Holies. Okay? And he couldn't go whenever he wanted to. Only the Day of Atonement. And he couldn't just walk in empty-handed. He had to take the blood of a young bull and offer the blood, okay, for his sins. God would not completely erase, but he wouldn't hold them accountable. He would kind of cover them. Our sins are erased when we come to Jesus in us. Only when we come to Jesus. So he uses the word sincere. Okay? I want you to turn real quickly, and I'm going to be reading some of those. And so, Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 10. Listen to what God tells his people. Okay? Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 10. And this is what he says. He says, talking about how people come and draw near to him, and why the nation of Judah was having such a difficult time. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 3, verse 10. And it says, and yet, for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but faintly, saith the Lord. You know, it's the Lord who sees our hearts in us. And I've heard so many people say that they pray and it seems like God is not there. They pray and as if God doesn't hear. They pray and as if God doesn't care. He does hear. He does hear. Okay? He does care for you and for me. But he looks at what? He looks at the heart in us. Believe it or not, we see the outside as Samuel looked at David's brother. He saw this giant man. He said, this will be a fantastic king. And God said, no, you look at the outside, but I look at the inside. Turn with me now, runners, to the Gospel of John, chapter 2. The Gospel of John, chapter 2, a lot of people have confessed or professed that Jesus is the one that he says he is. But I want you to listen to this and listen to what Jesus says about this people. I want to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 2, beginning with verse 23. It says this, "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles that he had done. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that they should testify of the man, for he knew what was in man." Isn't that fantastic? All these people come and they're singing and they're praising the Lord. And Jesus says, "I don't trust them." Why? Because he is God, and he sees our hearts when we come to him. Now, if you just go to chapter 6, they have lost sight of him and they're looking for him. And in chapter 6, verse 26, they find him and they say, "How did you get here? When did you get here? Where did you go?" And listen to what he says in verse 26. "Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, you look for me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." In other words, they had a motive different than salvation when they came to Jesus. They wanted material things. And hermanos, Jesus thinks of our spirit and our soul. That's why he came, to save those us who were lost. And if you go now to almost the end, on chapter the same chapter, chapter 6, I want you to listen to verse 64. It says this, "But there are some of you," he says, "but there are some of you that believeth not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him." Verse 65. "And he said, Therefore saith I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." In other words, you just don't do anything on your own. It is God who initiates and begins everything in our hearts.
Amen.
And listen to the next verse. Verse 66, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked what? No more with him." God sees our heart and us when we come unto him. Now you're in Hebrews, turn to chapter 11 and listen to verse 6. A lot of us have heard sermons on verses 1 through 6. But listen to what he says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And he says this, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." Without faith, it is impossible to please him. "For he that cometh to God must" what? "Believe that he is." Okay? "And that he is a" what? "A rewarder of them that diligently seek him." In other words, when you come to church, you notice the walls are clean, everything. And sometimes you wonder if God is here. Okay? Well, let me tell you, he is here. I've asked you several times before, "Is God here?" And sometimes I hear very softly, "Yes." Is God here? Yes. And I've asked you, "How do you know that he is here?" And many of you say, "Because I feel it." And I tell you that we don't live the Christian life by feeling. We live by what? By faith. That God says in Matthew 18:20, "Whether two or three gather in his name, he is" where? "He is here." So, is God here this morning?
Yes.
Yes. How do I know? Because the Bible says so. And God's word is faithful. And I trust that what God says is true. That's why I know that He is here. Does He make me feel good? Yes, He does. Okay? But I am not putting my trust on feelings. I'm putting my trust what? In God and His word. With sincerity, with a genuine faith and trust, with no hypocrisy. It is not superficial. It is real that we come into the presence of God. Now there are three things, hermanos. There are three things. Listen to this. Faith cannot begin until a person realizes, okay, the following. Number one, the felt that we have a felt need, that he hears the gospel. And number three, he makes a commitment. Now, this is the one that is first right here. A felt need. Faith cannot begin in a person until the person realizes the need for salvation. You just don't walk in. I remember some years back, people were saying, you know, you can come into the church and you say, "Hello, Daddy, it's me. I'm talking to you. I'm sorry." I say, God, okay, is sovereign. He is the creator. He is the sustainer. He is my redeemer. And as Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 through 18, we should realize who God is and what He did for us. And that should make us tremble. And that should make us fear Him. Why? Because life, hermanos, is so fragile. I tell you, hermanos, I have known so many people that, you know, they were celebrating maybe their birthday. The pastor and I were, he was crawling under the gate to go see if there were any deer in our blind. And the phone rings, and he walks away. And someone calls to tell me there was a death in the family. Wow. And I said, I don't know if we can go right away, because pretty soon I hear, boom! The pastor shot something. And then he goes, boom, again. I guess he shot again, or he killed another deer in the same spot. How things happen so quickly. How fragile life is. Okay? And so, the first thing among us, we need to remember that if a person is without Christ, he is lost. He is condemned. If he, okay, does not have Christ in his heart, that person is lost. Whether he recognizes it or not, the Bible says that person is what? Is lost. Turn with me real quickly, hermanos, to the book of Acts chapter 9. The book of Acts chapter 9. I want to read real quickly just a couple of verses. This talks about Paul. And listen how this goes with what we're talking about. The person has got to have a felt need. The book of Hebrews chapter 9, listen as I read the first six verses. And this is the way of what God says. It says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, of the Christian life, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound in chains into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about them a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now, I believe that there were a lot of Christians at that time that when they heard that Paul was coming, you know, they would exit on the other side. And some of them were saying, now, if somebody needed to be saved, it's who? It's Paul. He needs to be saved. But Paul, hermanos, didn't have the need that he felt. He didn't feel that need of being saved. Why? Because he thought he was doing God's will. He really believed that he was working with God, chaining and having the Christians killed. But when he has an encounter with Jesus, okay? When he has an encounter with Jesus, he realizes that he has what? An emptiness that nothing can fill. All of the commandments, all of the rules, all of the regulations, the only one who could fill that emptiness is Jesus Christ. And that is why he says, he falls down trembling and says, Lord, what do you want me to do? Get up, and it will be told to you. I felt need. This morning, we'll have such a beautiful service because the table is prepared, and the Holy Spirit has guided us, invited us to come and approach God this morning. Approach the altar, believing that He is God, okay? Truly believing. Do you have a felt need? Whatever it is, I've been thinking that maybe when we end the service, you know, on Sunday mornings, we should have a couple of deacons up here with their wives and standing here. Somebody has a need, come and you receive a prayer. We pray together for your need. And I know that some of you have somebody who is sick, who is ill, who has a need, and you know it, hermanos. And if you have a felt need, something that you feel that you need, maybe you don't understand everything about it, but hermanos, a need is essential, but not adequate on its own. You gotta hear what? The gospel is. The gospel truth. Years ago, when I was a young preacher, I was invited to preach. I would be invited like a week at a time. You remember? There would be a week at a time. And then finally, it was like from Wednesday or Sunday to Wednesday or Sunday to Thursday, and less. And now many of our churches don't have, you know, weekend revivals. However, I was invited to this church, and a lady came up to the front. And the pastor, we went back together and started praying. He says, you don't tell them that you come up to the front to be saved. It has to come from their own words. I need to be saved. He said, what is your need? What is your need? And she said, well, I came up to the front to pray for rain, because it had been very dry. And she said, I came up to the front, you know, for rain. I said, you didn't come up to the front to ask God for forgiveness? She says, no. I'm not a bad person. Have you ever heard that? I'm not a bad person. I'm not a sinner like some of the people. So we take the Bible and we turn to where, hermanos? Anybody remember that verse that has been mentioned a lot of times in church? 1 John chapter 1. Turn to the little book, and it's after Hebrews, okay? After Hebrews, you find the book of James, and then you find the little books of Peter, and then you find the 1 John. And it is chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1. And I'm going to read verse 8, 9, and 10. Listen to this, hermanos. And listen to what happened. Remember, this lady had come up to the front, like a lot of people come up to the front. And when we talked to her, she said she had come to pray for rain. And her greatest need was not the rain. The greatest need was what? Her salvation. But yet she didn't feel a need for salvation. So, we read this. Listen to this. That's all we did. If we say that we have no sin, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. She's just looking at it, too. And I remember using my finger so that she could keep up where I am. She said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. En español dice, si decimos que no tenemos pecado, nos engañamos a nosotros mismos y la verdad no está en nosotros. Nos engañamos a nosotros mismos. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Dice, si confesamos nuestros pecados, él es fiel y justo para perdonar nuestros pecados y limpiarnos de toda maldad. Verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. Has anybody ever called you a liar in your face? I was sharing this testimony that when I was in Vietnam, we found a stack of cinnamon. Okay? And when the men asked me, because I was the officer, they said, Lieutenant, you have choice. What do you want? Of all the things that he had. I said, I'll take the stack of cinnamon. Yo pido que yo me quede con toda la, ¿cómo se dice en español? La canela. You know? And they said, you want the cinnamon? You know, I thought it was crazy. They didn't know that you could put in hot chocolate and all this stuff. Be so delicious. You know? Well, I was sharing this when somebody said, you're a liar. He said, there was no cinnamon in Vietnam. I tell you what, my wife, one summer, about 8 years ago, she was in a spice store in Chicago, and she was looking at the cinnamon of the world, and she got one that says Vietnam cinnamon, the best cinnamon in the world. She put it in the basket, and then that year, okay, they found cancer in my body. And we were looking for a smoothie, and the smoothie, high antioxidant, required that you use cinnamon from Vietnam because it is the best. But I'm going to go back to how I felt when this man stood up and said, you're a liar. Did it hurt me? Oh yeah, there's somebody, you know, calling me a liar like that. When we say that we have no sin, we fool ourselves and we call God what? A liar. That's what it says. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. And this lady broke down just by us reading out loud the word of God, the gospel told her that she needed forgiveness of sin, and only Jesus can do that. Here's the one that gave his blood for you and for me. Not only do you need a felt need of salvation when you come, but you need to hear the word of God. You need to hear the word of God, because the word of God is alive. The word of God is the sword of the spirit, and the word of God is the one that pricks your heart and says, there is something terribly wrong in me, and I need something, and it leads you to Jesus, who died on the cross for your sins and mine. And then the felt need, you need to hear the word of God, and you need to make one of the most difficult things, and that is commitment. Make a commitment. Comprometerte. As I was asking the pastor, you know, so what is a word in Spanish for commitment? Commitment means, hermanos, that you believe God's word to be exactly as it says, and it will do exactly what it says it's going to do, and willing to die for it. Listen to what I memorized this verse long time ago. Luke 9, 22. Do you remember the book? Let me see if it's 23. Now I have to write it down someplace, and very uncomfortable with this man, but I'm going to read it for you. Luke chapter 9. Okay? And listen to what it says. Jesus invites people, and he invites people in this manner. Luke 9, 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. A lot of people say, hermanos, you carry a cross around your neck to identify yourself. That is not what Jesus was saying in the first century. In the first century, the cross was a symbol of suffering and death. In other words, Jesus is saying, are you willing to suffer and die for me? You remember the book of Acts when the people, their hearts were pricked because they heard from Peter that they had crucified Jesus, the Son of God. And they said, what shall we do? And Peter says, repent and be baptized. Someone asked me, how come we don't do that right away? You know, a person repents and is baptized right away. I said, I want you to listen to this. When Peter is preaching, there's already persecution. The high priest and the other priest would expel you. In other words, kick you out of church if you were baptized and you became a Christian. So Peter is saying, are you willing to have that done to you? To be kicked out? To be persecuted? Baptism was a symbol, hermanos, that now you're being marked. You're marked, and they're going to find you out. And as you read earlier, Brother Paul thought he was doing God's will when he was persecuting the church. A commitment, hermanos. I remember I've asked before many times, I've asked somebody, can you tell me the definition of faith? And some of you memorize that verse real fast, and you can say, ¿qué quiere decir la fe? And you start reading out Hebrews chapter 11, ¿verdad? Verse 1. La certeza de lo que no se espera. Lo que se espera, ¿verdad? So, but what is faith? Okay, let me tell you before I close. Faith, hermano. The name of this person, hermanos, se llamó John Patton. John Patton was a missionary and a translator. They found some people on an island in the Pacific. The name of it is New Hebrides. And he was translating the language of this people into a New Testament, so that they could have their own Bible. But he came to a word that they didn't have. They came to a word that they couldn't give him. Faith. There was no word in their language for faith. And it bothered him, and he prayed, and he prayed, and prayed. And one day, he was in his little hut, you know, and a man that was working out in the sun and everything came in, and he looked very tired and thirsty. And the man came, and there was a big old chair right next to him, and the man just threw himself in the chair. And John Patton looked at the man who had just thrown his body on the chair. You ever done that? You're tired, you come in, and the sofa's right there, and you just flop. That's what you call it. You flop on the chair like that. He asked him, what's the word for what you did? He said, what do you mean? What is the word that y'all use for what you just did? He said, well, I was tired. And I knew that the chair was there. I knew that the chair could hold me up. So I just threw myself at the chair. And that's where he got the word for the New Testament. He committed himself to this. He needed rest. He knew that the chair could give him that rest. And he just threw himself at the chair. And that's what we need to do. Depend on him or nothing else. But what? But Christ. When you do that, hermanos, he honors your faith. A lot of people come to the altar. I've seen some people walk away. And they say, I'm not a sinner. I don't think that I should die for my sin. Well, the Bible says what? The wages of sin is what?
Death.
But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The faith that God honors and you honor God with is a faith that is sincere and that you have a felt need. And you know that God can meet your need. And you know that only He can meet your need. Whatever it is. And you hear from the Word of God, and you believe the Word of God. What does Jesus say? Come unto me, all ye who are what? Weary and heavy laden. And what does He say He'll do? See? When you believe that, that's the truth of God, and the truth of God touches your heart. And then you make a what? A commitment. You say, Lord, I believe that. I believe you can do that. I believe you're the only one who can help me and fulfill what I need in my life. We come this morning, hermanos, to the table. And we should remember, in memorial of me, what has Jesus done for me? He died for me. Everyone should say, now He died for me. If you're a believer, Jesus died in your place. He died in my place. And only He can forgive me of my sins. And only He can save me. And only He can keep me and that He calls for me. Are you willing to commit yourself? See, let us bow our heads as we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for how loving and patient You are with each and every one of us. Because, Father, many times with our mouth we can confess, but you need to believe in your heart. We need to believe in our hearts to be justified by You, Father. Forgive us. Help us, O Lord, to be fully committed to You. Come what may, we know that we're never alone. You never leave us. You never forsake us. In the most impossible situations, You work in our behalf. Thank You for what You have done in my life physically, but thank You even more for what You have done in my soul. You have cleansed me through Your precious blood, and You have written my name in Your book of life. If there be someone here this morning who has yet to feel a great need of you, through your word, Father, pierce that heart and draw them to you. As we partake of the juice, an emblem of your precious blood, as we partake of the bread this morning, an emblem of your body, of your life that you gave for us so that we can have life. Father, thank you. Thank you for your love for us, for your presence in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.